Scaffolds are something that are wildly impactful, but really, really underutilized. They help kids to understand, to organize, and to retain information when it comes to reading, and this level of support will vastly grow students when introduced and when used correctly. This episode is going to be highlighting three scaffolds that I believe every reading teacher should be using, and it's going to emphasize how these scaffolds will enhance the process of reading and comprehending a variety of text. If this sounds like an area that you would like to have a little bit of support in, or just to make sure that you're on the right track, I will meet you inside. Welcome to the Literacy Dive Podcast, a podcast for educators who want to take a deeper dive into all things reading and writing instruction. I'm your host, Megan, a true lover of all things literacy. Join me each week as we dive into teaching tips, engaging ideas, and actionable step-by-step strategies and examples to help you close the gap and lead confidently with best practices. I'm all about keeping things simple and digestible so that you can implement what you learn here as soon as tomorrow. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Literacy Dive Podcast. I am so thrilled that you are here, and I am just ready to kind of dive into and tackle this idea of using scaffolds to just enhance your reading instruction and all of the awesome things that you are doing with your students. But before I dive in, I want you to enter this link into your browser to get a Context Clues reading activity set for free. This is going to be able to support some of those scaffolds that I'm going to mention in this episode, but it's also going to include four other types of resources and scaffolds that you can include that I'm not necessarily going to dive into in this episode today. So the link for that is theliteracydive.com/contextclues. Put that into your browser, or at the end of this episode or anytime during this episode, you can head to the show notes and download that freebie from the link. So theliteracydive.com/contextclues. In the upper elementary grades, students are navigating more complex text and concepts. So scaffolds are essential for supporting all of your learners, especially those who struggle with reading or who might be learning English as a second language. Reading scaffolds are necessary tools in the upper elementary classroom, and they are designed to support students as they start developing these skills and getting into these deeper ways of thinking about their reading, hence being comprehension. I want to share three crucial reading scaffolds that can truly benefit every upper elementary classroom. These scaffolds provide temporary support, enabling students to accomplish tasks that they are not yet able to manage on their own. It is important to note that as students' abilities improve, these supports can be gradually removed from them. So let's dive into these scaffolds and examine what they are and how they can best be utilized in your reading block. First up is one of my personal favorites, graphic organizers. And if you've been around, this will not shock you. I love a good graphic organizer because of the benefits and the way that it's designed and the effects that it has, especially when students are utilizing them. Graphic organizers are visual aids that can help students to understand, to organize, and to retain information by breaking down these complex ideas into manageable, bite-sized, small components. They support reading comprehension by organizing the text in a way that makes the relationships and the hierarchies much clearer for students. So for upper elementary students, graphic organizers can actually take several forms. And some examples of the various forms they can take might be a story map, which is going to help students identify the main elements of a story, which can include the characters, the setting, the problem, and the solution. It's basically just being able to hear a story, comprehend that story, and then pull apart those key details that they can later put together in a more formalized and succinct way. So that is going to be the big why behind a story map. So then you also have Venn diagrams, and these are useful for comparing and contrasting information, characters, settings, or events across a minimum of two texts. So this is going to be just a different graphic that's going to show them that there are certain spaces on this graphic organizer that are going to be complete differences. And then the overlapped portion are going to be what's comparative and what is the same. So that is going to be another graphic organizer that can really help students with their comprehension of these different types of reading skills that they are responsible for. Cause and effect charts, those are going to help students to track the causal relationships between events in a story. And so looking at what are all of the causes and then what was that effect that happened? Or even doing it backwards, what was an effect that we know that happened? And let's go back and identify all of the causes. So this is going to be just a way where using a T-chart or using a bubble style map where there might be some arrows that are just showing the direction of cause to effect, that is going to be perfect and just enough for students to be able to show their knowledge and comprehension by way of breaking it apart, getting it out of their heads, and into a manageable document. And then just using a standard T-chart. And these are great for notating background knowledge and then being able to list the new knowledge that they find. It can also be used to track different facts and opinions. So anytime there are going to be multiple things that students can be able to identify or be responsible for, you can be able to throw that skill into a T-chart. So graphic organizers not only support comprehension, but they really also encourage critical thinking and organizational skills, which students need in order to be able to advance to those upper grades, even higher than third, fourth, fifth grade, where they have to take their level of knowledge and do something with it. The great thing about a graphic organizer is that they can be used before, during, or after reading to support students in organizing their thoughts and understanding when it comes to the complex text that they are responsible for reading. They can use the visual graphic to map that skill in their minds, and also they will be able to still find success even if they do not physically have a graphic organizer in front of them, because as much exposure as they have to it, they can see that visual in their heads, and they can sometimes go ahead and jot it out to the side of their paper just to notate and organize their thoughts, or they can at least be able to compartmentalize it in separate areas because of the graphic that they have used before. So that is what I really, really love about graphic organizers. And again, there is a graphic organizer in that free Context Clues activity set. So theliteracydive.com/contextclues, you can actually see exactly what I'm talking about from that set that I'm giving to you. So make sure that you download that. And then also I will link in the show notes just to some other graphic organizers that I truly love and many teachers have found success with. Next up is question and discussion prompts. Questioning and discussion methods are key scaffolding strategies to use in the classroom, and I honestly don't think that they are utilized enough. Structuring questioning techniques and discussion protocols can scaffold reading comprehension by encouraging deeper engagement with the text they're reading. These are going to help students to think critically about what they read and help them to articulate their understanding. So now we have this oral component where they are not having to just focus on listening to a question or reading a question and having to write about it in the form of a reading response that shows their comprehension, but they can be able to do this by speaking aloud their different thinkings when it comes to the prompt and the question by way of a discussion. So that's what I really love, is this oral component to this. But effective questioning strategies are going to involve using open-ended questions that are going to encourage students to think critically and deeply and engage with that text. So these strategies are going to allow and help your students to go far beyond that surface level understanding and that surface level, you know, response that they give you. And it's going to allow them to go just a little bit deeper and get to that analyzation portion to get where they can evaluate and synthesize that information. And so this is what I love about question and discussion prompts. They can also be used to tell students what they should be thinking about, I like to personally call them think questions or just think, and that lets them know that, okay, this is what my brain should be thinking about when it comes to this skill, and these are going to be the important question or questions that I am responsible for answering. And if I answer those correctly, then that means that I am proficient in that skill and I have mastered it, which is going to be awesome. So that is going to be something that I love being able to implement as well. And they just serve as the purpose, again, of having students stop and think about those key questions that will then aid them in a proper response that directly relates back to that reading skill. So again, this can be done written form or oral form. And even if you're not having students do this whole group all the time, there are still ways that you can get this oral retell done that is going to assist in their comprehension. And I'm going to dive into that in just a little bit. In terms of question and discussion prompts, I want to go over a couple that I have found as pure gold and some that I can truly attribute to growing the comprehension of my students. One of them is using guided questions. This is going to be where you provide questions that guide students through the text, prompting them to either make predictions, connections, to make inferences. And the great thing is that you can easily have these readily available for students to use on their own with a partner or at your small group table. So I love creating reference rings of all types, especially for questions or for various anchor charts. And I like this because when I can give students a mini version of it or a very small, something that they can be able to control and manipulate, it allows them to have this repetitive usage of it. And they are getting familiar with these questions. They are getting familiar with what they need to be thinking about. And this is going to help them to successfully respond to that text. And so when thinking about before reading, that's when you can ask predictive questions based on the title, based on the cover, based on the picture, a blurb that you might want to just pull out from there. And this is going to activate that prior knowledge and set the purpose for reading. So if you have go-to questions that you can just automatically ask, that is going to be really great for them to start that process of beginning to make these connections and think about, okay, I see this image here. When I saw this image before, this happened, or this is what I know about this topic. So therefore, I think that this is going to be about blank. So that is kind of what you want them to do, but you want them to share what that is. And so again, they can share in whatever format you find fitting for your group setting, but that's going to be an example of a before reading question. You also can have those during reading questions, which are going to be questions that prompt students to make the inferences. It's going to prompt them to visualize. It's going to prompt them to make connections to the text and using that text to make that bridge between their own experiences or even another text. And it's going to really enhance that engagement piece and the comprehension piece because of that personal connection or text-to-text connection they are having to make in that moment. And so this can just look like finding a certain page number ahead of time or finding a certain portion of that text or chapter where you're going to then have them pause and ask them a question and get them to start doing some of this heavier and deeper level of think work. Ever wonder why students can't seem to retain those key vocabulary words? Is it a struggle to make vocabulary stick in your students' minds long after the quiz is over? Do you feel like you have run out of creative ways to teach new words? Well, I hear you, and the answer is here. A resource that weaves vocabulary development seamlessly into writing exercises. You can seriously watch your students' word knowledge and writing competence grow together effortlessly and enjoyably. It's truly the dual power approach that you've been waiting for. Enriching vocabulary while polishing writing skills. And now, my vocabulary writing prompts are offered by grade level. I know it might sound too good to be true, but if you're curious to experience the transformation firsthand, I want you to grab a free sample compiled just for you. Ideal for 2nd to 6th grade educators, you can now try a tailored vocabulary writing prompt for each grade level. Witness the spark of interest and the growth in your students' writing abilities yourself. You can find this download in the show notes, but you could also head to theliteracydive.com/vocabulary and download your free sample today. Step into a new world where vocabulary learning is engaging, effective, and exciting. Do not miss out on this opportunity to revolutionize the way that you teach vocabulary. Then there's also going to be the after reading questions where you can be able to encourage students to summarize the text or to ask their own questions, maybe to the author or maybe just to anyone else that might be reading this specific book. Or they can be able to relate this specific book or text to a central theme or to a broader context that's going to help them to consolidate their understanding and then apply that to new situations when it comes back to reading different genres. So that after reading, it's going to be important because whether they're summarizing a chapter or the entire book, they will have to have a portion of that text completed before they are able to do that form of questioning. So whenever you're thinking about your questions, you really want to think about if it's a before reading question, what are some that lends itself well? And those are going to be prediction style of questions. If it's during, you're going to want to really focus on those inferences, visualizations, connections. And then at the very end, you can think about pulling it together for a summary or pulling it together for a theme. And these are all really, really high level orders of thinking that are going to help your students with the comprehension piece. Now, I mentioned that there are some think questions that I love, and so I want to give you an example of these think questions and what they could sound like. So if you want your students to be recognizing cause and effect within the book or text that they're reading, one of the think questions could be, what events caused another event to happen? And then the second question that you would have on an anchor chart or on a piece of anchor chart paper or somewhere for them to access would be, what is the result of something that has happened in your text? So those are the two parts to the cause and effect, which is focusing on the cause, focusing on the effect, but giving them those questions are going to help them to stay central into what it is that they're supposed to be responding to. Another example could be for sequencing. So let's say that that is what you want them to recognize. There could be some think questions connected to this where you could ask them or have displayed for them, in what order do the events or steps occur in the text? And then the second part would be, why is the order of the steps or events important to the text? And so this is allowing them to look at that structure of sequence, but then also to actually answer, in what order are they coming and what's happening? What are the steps? What are the events? And they have to do a little bit of that comprehension work as well. So the think questions, again, I love being able to utilize those. There is an example of that in your context clues freebie. So make sure to go to the show notes or just use that link that I mentioned to download it. But that is going to be so pivotal because right there in their own hands, they have actionable questions that they are responsible for. And because they're directly related to that skill or strategy, it is going to be a great way to showcase the comprehension. Now, these questioning strategies can definitely leave the read aloud carpet time that you have with your students or from the small group table, and they can be included in think, pair, share, or even a turn and talk. And that's just a collaborative learning strategy where students think about a question, they discuss their thoughts with the partner, and then they share with the larger whole group, or they can share with another smaller partner group. And what's really great about this is that they are now hearing other perspectives, which is going to really help them. So as you can kind of catch on to that, this is going to help your students to articulate their understanding, and they're going to learn from peers, which is going to be another way that they can start building this background knowledge and getting some of these response ideas. This is a wonderful strategy because before you have students write anything down, before that written response comes to be, it really does involve thinking and oral statements, which are needed prior to that writing. So this form of building their comprehension and speaking it is excellent for your students. Another idea that's going to leave your whole group or your small group time is by having literature circles. These are just small student-led group discussions where each student has a role. So for instance, one student might be responsible for summarizing. They are the summarizer. And one might be responsible for being the questioner or the connector, making all of the connections with this text, and it just goes on and on from there. This format encourages diverse perspectives and that deeper engagement with the text, and it's really going to support the reading strategies that students really need to master. It's going to give students exposure and experience with different reading skills, and it's also going to allow them to have this collaborative group that is there for support as well as for their accountability with this reading and with the comprehension of that text. One additional element that I really love about these literature circles is that it allows the group and these students that are in these groups to really kind of start evaluating each other's responses. And so instead of just accepting a response that they're given, they can start challenging those responses or adding to it and building upon each other's responses to whatever their role is. So in a way, they are becoming an evaluator. And if you think about it on the hierarchy, that is a very, very higher order level of thinking when you can be able to evaluate someone else's responses or be able to challenge their responses or build upon and add to each other's responses. So a lot of really cool things can be able to happen there, and it's just going to strengthen the comprehension because they're working in a group. The last scaffold that I love using, and I feel every reading teacher should be using too, are sentence stems. Now, sentence stems are a powerful scaffold in an upper elementary classroom because they offer students a starting point for constructing their responses, whether in writing or whether it's in an oral discussion. They are particularly useful in helping students formulate ideas and using that academic language that they may or may not have yet, and structuring their sentences and their thoughts coherently, all to support students in developing their reading comprehension, their writing, and their oral language skills. In short, sentence stems are partially completed sentences that allow students the opportunity to fill in that missing information or to continue that thought. These scaffolds are designed to support students in expressing their ideas, answering questions, or contributing to discussions by providing a framework that is going to help to guide their responses. Now, what I love is that they provide a variety of sentence structures and different language and vocabulary, which is great, not only for your ELL, ESL students, but it's really wonderful for all of your students because, again, they get students started and the thoughts and the ideas and the support and evidence that they want to convey, all of that that follows that stem is going to be up to the student to show their knowledge and their comprehension. And the sentence stems, they just eliminate the stress that students have around getting that response started. So sentence stems can be used for any content area, any subject, any skill, and they are a scaffold that I feel is a must use in the classroom. So I love sharing examples. And so one for summarizing is that they can start this paragraph or this response, whether oral or written, in a variety of ways. So if you are wanting them to summarize what they've read, they can start with, the text is mainly about. The author's most important ideas were. The basic gist is. The key information is. Basically, what happened was. I read about. Or the big events that happened were. And so as you can see there are just a variety of ways that students can learn how to begin formulating their comprehension with this text and being able to really kind of dive into ways that they can make this response sound better at the front end, but then finish up with that supportive piece. If you are wanting your students to take on more of the analyzing what I'm doing or evaluating myself, then you might want to be focusing on monitoring and clarifying when it comes to reading. And so some of the sentence stems that you can give your students are, I had to slow down when, I was confused by, I had some difficulty with understanding, I needed to reread the part where blank because blank, I used blank, which is where they would put a strategy in to help me understand blank. And so this is helping them to really think deeper about what this concept is of monitoring and clarifying while I'm reading. And because it's offering them the language to get started, they now can think about all of these different ways that they have monitored or they clarified while they were reading. By slowing down, they can recognize when they were confused, what they had difficulty with, what they had to reread, what strategy they used to understand a certain portion. And those are all skills that we want students to do. Sentence stems truly have been pivotal in growing my students' language and their written responses, and I know that many teachers can also say the same thing. So I do plan on going into sentence stems and an episode of its own, so more about that in an upcoming episode in the future. But really, when we think about what we've learned today, implementing these three valuable scaffolds, graphic organizers, question and discussion prompts, and then sentence stems, that is going to be so supportive for your students. You are going to be creating this learning environment that's going to help all of your students develop their reading skills and support them by strengthening these strategies that are going to help them with the comprehension. So by using the graphic organizers, by using sentence stems and employing that effective questioning and all of those techniques that come with that, you will facilitate comprehension, encourage that critical thinking, and build those essential skills that are necessary for independent reading. I have literally lived this life for so many years, and I found that it was really easy for me to have all of the necessary components that I would need to facilitate a structured and guided and supportive reading session grouped together and ready for execution. So I have put together this reading skills activity bundle for you that you can check out in the link if it's something that you feel like would help your students. But before all that, I would love for you just to download the context clues set that I'm giving you for free so that you can actually explore the various tools that you can use to grow your students. So make sure that you grab that download at theliteracydive.com/contextclues. And until next time, I hope that you continue and keep diving into literacy, and I will be back with you next week. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Be sure to click that follow button so you never miss a new episode. And if you are enjoying what you hear, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Until the next episode, we can hang out over on Instagram at The Literacy Dive, and you can search The Daily Writing Disguise in your web browser to dive into a stockpile of creative writing activity collections created by me with student engagement in mind. For literacy resources and support, you can search The Literacy Dive on TPT. I'll catch you in the next episode.